Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. The time is 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time. It is September 4th, 2020. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. It's the third. Sorry about that.
Looking forward to
too much. I'm convening this meeting, and we're going to have roll call now. Madam Secretary, could you take the roll?
Yes. Grace Aaron, KPFK listener, is here. Robin Collier, KCEI affiliate. Chris Corey, KPFA listener.
Here. I believe Robin asked for an excused absence.
Chris Corey is here. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, WPFW listener.
Here.
Okay, Vanessa Dixon Briggs is here. Lyndon Foley, KPFT listener.
Here.
Okay, Lyndon Foley is here. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener.
I'm here.
Good. Jan Goodman is here. Heather Gray, WRFG affiliate.
Here.
Right, Heather Gray is here. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA staff.
Here.
Okay, Sabrina Jacobs is here. Wally James, KPFT staff.
Here.
Right, Wally James is here. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener. Okay, Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff.
Here.
Okay, Ron Pinchback is here. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener.
Here.
Ralph Pointer is here. Thank you. Sandra Rowland, KPFT listener.
Here.
Okay. Rowland is here. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener.
Present.
All right. Lawrence Reyes is here. Sean Rhodes, WBAI staff.
Here.
Okay, Sean Rose is here. Eileen Rosen, WPFW listener.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Eileen Rosen is here. James Sagerton, WBAI listener.
Here.
All right, James Sagerton is here. Nancy Sorden, WPFW listener. She requested an excuse.
She requested an excuse.
Alex Steinberg, WBAI listener.
Present.
All right, Alex Steinberg is here. Andrea Turner, KPFA listener.
Present.
Andrea Turner is here. Polina Vasiliev, KPFK staff.
Here. I'm here.
Okay, Polina Vasiliev is here. Tom Voorhees, KPFA listener.
Here.
Okay, Tom Voorhees is here. Lydia Brazone, Interim Executive Director. Not here yet. Anita Sims, Interim Chief Financial
here.
Officer. Right, Anita Sims
here.
Is here. Thank you, Anita. Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council. Yeah. John Tatum, Parliamentarian.
Present.
Okay, John Tatum is here. All right, going back, Dwayne Lark. KPFT listener, not here yet. Nancy Sorden, not here yet. And Robin Collier asked for an excused absence. Okay, we have quorum,
great.
Mr. Chair.
Okay,
Nancy also asked for an excused absence.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is the... okay. We have a report out from the closed session of August 27, 2020. The report out states the following. The Pacifica National Board met with the general manager of KPFK to discuss personnel matters and address other personnel matters. Next, we have to take care of excused absences. Do we have any requests for an excused absence?
Yes, we have two requests. One from Nancy Sorden and one from Robin Collier. Robin Collier was having problems with a tooth, and Nancy had a work deadline.
Okay. We have a motion to excuse the two directors who requested an excused absence.
Dan Goodman, so mm-hmm. moved.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Andrea.
Second, Eileen.
Second, Andrea.
Okay. Okay, any objections? Okay, those people are excused. And next, we need to get some volunteer timekeepers. Do we have some volunteers for the topics part of timekeeping?
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to volunteer.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Lawrence. And do we have a volunteer for the people part of timekeeping? Anybody?
Mr. Chair, this is James. I can do it in about 5 or 10 minutes, but I can't start just at this moment.
No, that'll be great. That's fine. Okay, thank you, James. Okay, the next item is approval of the agenda, and let me read an outline of the agenda. Agenda approval is 5 minutes, then that's followed by minutes approval. It's a 3-minute item, followed by reports, and there's a bunch of committees listed, and some of them are given 3 minutes, and some of them are given 5 minutes. That's all I can tell you in a quick summary. Next item after that is a report from our IED, Lydia Brazone. That's a 10-minute item. That includes Q&A.
This is Lydia. I'm on, by the way.
Okay. Welcome, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And following that is an item on unfinished business. The motion on LSB responsibility for posting and recording of LSB and LSB committee meetings. And following that is new business. There's a motion on management evaluation. And there's no time specified for the new business or for... Well, there's a time for unfinished business. There's no time specified for new business. Okay, do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Tom Voorhees and yourself put forward the motion on management evaluation. Would you like to amend the agenda by stating how much time you'd like for that item?
20 minutes.
I'll second that.
Let's make that 20 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this is Chris Corey. Can I speak for a second on this item?
We need a motion to approve the draft agenda before we can go forward on anything.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that the numbering is not correct on it. You have two number sixes and then a number seven. So the second number six should be 7 and the number 7 should be 8.
I think you must be looking at an older version of the agenda.
Yeah,
oh,
it's correct.
Oh, okay. My apologies. Okay, thank you.
When did you send out the most recent one, Grace?
Recently. About an hour and a half ago, an hour and a half ago.
Okay. Look in your inbox for that one. Okay. Do we
I
have
think
a motion?
He's talking about the new. He's talking about new business.
Yeah. Do we have
yeah,
a motion?
Yeah, I am.
Do we have
new business
motion?
Has 2 sixes.
Do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Aye. Second, Lawrence.
Okay. Are there any amendments or objections to the draft agenda?
Grace, it's to add 20 minutes to new business, the new business item?
To add 20 minutes to new business. Okay, yeah.
To add the time.
Okay, do we have a second for that amendment?
Seconds.
Okay. Are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, so that amendment is accepted. Are there any other amendments to the draft agenda?
This is Chris again.
And Jan Goodman.
All right, Chris, I'll take you first. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the numbering is still not correct on the latest version. So under new business, the motion proceeds 1 through 8, and 6 is doubled, and 7 is actually 8. So
I'm just suggesting that
the number
on the motion
under the motion. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. You're correct about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That doesn't require a motion, I don't believe. It's just an error.
It's just a styling thing. It doesn't change the motion in any substantive way.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other? Jan, you wanted to bring up something?
Yes, I would like to bring up the policy discussion, not the details of it, but the policy discussion regarding one of the items that is in the closed session. So I would like the policy part of it to be discussed in open session, and then the details forth in the closed session.
You want to? I'm a little. Can you be a little more specific? What you want a policy discussion on? What exactly?
On whether or not the PNB should be discussing matters should be following up on a regular weekly basis with general managers, or if that's something that the executive director should be doing.
Okay, so I'm still not completely clear what you would like, but let's call it policy discussion. Where would you like to put it on the agenda?
I would like to put it under new business.
Under new business, okay. So we can do that. Now, how much time do you want to allow for that one?
Oh, how about 15 minutes?
15 minutes, okay. Policy discussion, 15 minutes. So that'll be the last item on the agenda, basically. Okay, do we have a second for adding that item to the agenda?
Second.
Okay. Okay, do we have any objections to adding that item to the agenda?
Chair, Lawrence, a request for information.
What is your request for information, Lawrence?
I believe that Ms. Goodman began by saying that there's an item on the closed executive meeting agenda that deals with discussing policy or something that we should discuss about policy. Is that what she intended? Because if that's what she intended, then we should wait till we get to closed session to put it on the closed session agenda.
Ms. Goodman, do you want to respond to that question?
It was something that was brought up in the last meeting, in the last closed session, and I want to discuss it, just the policy issue that was brought up, I would like to discuss it in the open session.
All right. I mean, that's the only information I have. So,
you know, okay. I'll be more specific. I mean, I just want to put it on the agenda. If you want me to be more specific about it before we get to that agenda point, I'd be thrilled to do so.
I don't mind putting a vague item on the agenda if you want to be vague. If you want to be more specific,
More specific that there was a motion on the last closed session agenda that we follow up with a general manager or with general managers with regard to how they are. Details of what they are doing to balance their budget on a weekly basis in the PNB, and I wanted to discuss whether that was whether or not we should be doing that. It's a policy question, and
Lawrence to the Thatcher.
So that's Ms. Goodman's clarification of Lawrence's question. I heard Ron wanted to be on the stack. Ron?
And Lawrence.
Yeah.
And Lawrence,
this item is already on the agenda. It's in closed session for a reason. I can't see how we can have an effective discussion about matters if we can't discuss them, in the appropriate setting. And it's been decided that information, or that issue will be discussed in executive session. Trying to break a piece of it off, it's not fair to the listeners, and it's not fair to the process. So I suggest we not support this, and just deal with the agenda as it appears on the executive session agenda. Thank you.
May I speak, or may I be on the stack?
You were not recognized. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Pinchback. Apparently, this is something that is still under development in closed session, so I don't think it's appropriate right now to bring it up in open session yet as a policy, because it's not a policy yet.
Okay, so let's just go to a vote.
Excuse me. I haven't even had a chance to actually talk about it, and I at least feel like I should have the chance. If we're not going to talk about it, if we're not even going to put it on the agenda, to explain why I think it should be what I am talking about should be on the open session without discussing any particular station.
If you could make your case without revealing anything that's going on in closed session, go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. So there's a policy that we are discussing putting into effect of the PNB having discussions with general managers. On a weekly basis to make sure that they are taking appropriate steps on a weekly basis. And I want to discuss that item in open session, whether that is an appropriate use of the PNB's time to follow up with general managers on a weekly basis, or whether that is something that the executive director should be doing. It seems inappropriate and extreme for 20 people doing this, or even the PNB at all, since that.
Ms. Goodman, you're not. The motion.
This is a general concept. I'm not talking about any particular station. I'm talking about.
Filibustering.
Yeah, and this is Lydia.
Okay. Yeah, Lydia, do you want to say something on
that? It's not a policy. It's not written as a policy, just to be specific, and, you know, we can discuss it in closed session. It's a directive to me, really, and as ED. So it's a personnel directive to the ED. So I think it does belong in closed session. It's not
okay.
a policy.
Okay.
It's not an ongoing specific a policy for this to go on forever. It's a specific directive about a specific issue. Thank you.
This is Grace for the SAC.
I'd like to close the discussion. I will accept one more person who wants to speak in favor of adding this motion to the agenda, since we've heard a couple against it. And then I'd like to close the discussion. Does anybody else want to speak in favor of it? No? Okay, then let's just go to a vote. Madam Secretary, can you take the roll?
Yes. This is to add that agenda item to new business. Grace Aaron votes no. Robin Collier, Chris Corey.
Abstain.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
All right. Jan Goodman.
Yes.
All right. Heather Gray.
No.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs. Wally James.
Yes.
All right. Dwayne Lark. Ron Pinchback.
No.
Back to Ron. Okay. Ralph Pointer.
No.
Okay. Sandra Rowland.
Yes.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Okay. Sean Rose.
No.
Okay. Eileen Rosen.
No.
Okay. James Thagerton.
No.
Okay. Nancy Sorden. Andrea Turner.
No, here. Yeah.
Andrea Turner.
Abstain. Abstain.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev.
No.
All right. Tom Voorhees.
No.
Okay. I'll count up. We have four yeses. And
Sabrina abstains.
I didn't go back. I didn't go back to... You were the only one I missed, Sabrina.
No apologies. Sabrina abstains.
Okay, thank you. One, two, three. 11 no's. And 3 abstentions. Here, do you wish to vote? 4 yes, 11 no's, 3 abstentions.
Yeah, I'll vote no.
Right. The addition to the agenda fails.
Okay. Are there any further discussion on the agenda? Okay. If not, are there any objections to the draft agenda as amended? We had one very minor amendment. Okay. Seeing no objections, the draft agenda as amended is adopted. And the next item is the minutes for the open session of August 27th, 2020.
This is Grace. I'd like to make a small comment.
Sure.
I'd like to thank Sean Rhodes, who carefully proofreads the minutes and often makes corrections. It's much appreciated. He's very thorough and precise. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
Another one of your many talents.
Apparently.
Okay. Okay, so the next item are committee reports. Do we have, I'll just go down the list. Do we have reports on the audit committee?
Yes, I have a short report.
Okay, be my.
All right. This is Eileen Rosen, chair of the audit committee. I checked in with people from NETA and with our auditors on the fiscal year 2019 audit. And actually, NETA has started working on the audit since they began in late July. The CPA is, George, is finding accounts that were unreconciled for the year, but he's been getting in touch with the different units or stations to discuss with their business managers the corrections that are needed. So we're already making progress there. He hopes that we'll be able to have field work around October or early November. It depends on the responsiveness from the stations, which has not always been great, as you may or may not know. I think the board and or the ED may have to provide some political support. That was, you know, if NETA can't get what they need out of the stations in a timely manner, you know, I think we all need to provide whatever support NETA needs to get the information to, you know, poke the units to provide whatever it is you're looking for. So that's the main thing. I was not able to. I did ask if we had some kind of time frame to finish the audit, the 2019 audit, but I don't think that was possible to give to us yet, but maybe, you know, after things really get rolling, we'll have a better idea. I know Anita Sims is on the line here, and I wonder if, Anita, would you like to comment at all?
If I may, I certainly would.
Yeah, go ahead, Anita.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things that Annie and I discussed maybe would perhaps be is that we send requests perhaps once a week. We don't hear from staff to be able to move along. I think we all agree probably that live when we were working on 2018, they probably had too much time. If we didn't hear from them, we'd go back, you know, every month or so or whatever. But from our discussion today, we kind of feel that probably we need to do it more often. And since I've added another person to the audit team, we just need to get the work done and hopefully be in field work by October, late October, early November.
Can I ask a question?
Lyndon from Stack.
I'll take a stack in a second. Anita, do you have any timeline for when this could be completed? I realize it would be very tentative, whatever you say, but do you have anything?
Well, sir, if we start, let's say, at the latest, early November, hopefully the field work could be accomplished, and hopefully by the last of, well, you have holidays. I was going to say maybe early January after the holidays. It was also CC'd on the exchange of email. He did not comment. Our challenge or our deadline is for us to be ready when they are. So, again, we've started the process. I've added another person, so I think that should be helpful. And it takes 2.5 to 3 weeks for them to complete the field work. So it's all doable. We just need some help on retrieving information that we don't have access to.
Okay, thank you. Linda, want to ask a question?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Anita. I have two questions. One, are you saying that maybe early January for finishing your field work, the work that Nita does to gather information?
No, we would like to be ready, our work to be ready by late October, early November. In other words, the auditors...
When did you finish, the finish?
We will finish with everything that we need to do by late October. Then we turn it over to an audit firm, and they start doing the field work, and there's a lot of back and forth questions. I can't tell you, if they could work continuously on it. I just don't know their schedule yet.
Okay. My other question was, you were talking about having to contact who every week rather than every month. Are you talking about contacting the business managers every week?
Yes,
because they've been less than responsive?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Ron, what a question.
Yeah, Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, the last question that was asked about the reporting that you're asking for from the business managers, the information that you're seeking, is this information that they normally compile, on a weekly basis, or is this something that they're going to have to start doing on a weekly basis, as far as you know?
It's things that they should be doing all along.
When you say, that's not telling me whether they're actually doing that or not. That's what I'm saying. Are they currently, under any directive to do that? And because I'm assuming this would be a new directive.
Well, I mean, prior to us coming on board, there were audits, whether they were timely or not. I can't really answer the question, but since they're responsible, from my perspective, for reconciling all those accounts, I'm assuming that they're doing it, if not monthly, on a regular quarterly basis, perhaps. But we've been receiving some items, like investments, that have not been reconciled most of the year, or we don't hear. So we will start as we providing Eileen a list of items of things that are still outstanding as we move forward. And, of course, as you all know, it takes time. Once we send out an email and we get partial information or no response at all, I'm just saying that our communication will improve more frequent. And we'll start CCing the general manager if they respond to us.
Thank you. Chair, we are up on time for this item. It's only a 3-minute item.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next item is the coordinating committee report. I kind of assume there isn't any since the coordinating committee hasn't met yet. Anybody have any different information?
Yeah. Are you the Dwayne Lark? Dwayne?
Yes, this is Dwayne Lark. I move that the coordinating committee have its first meeting on the fourth Thursday of this month.
Fourth Tuesday, I believe.
On fourth Wednesday of this month.
Which is the 30th.
The 30th.
You can't move that. It's just somebody has to convene the coordinating committee.
Well, I announced that I convened the coordinating committee on the fourth Wednesday of this month. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If you wish to volunteer to do that, that's fine.
Okay.
Next item is the finance committee report.
Mr. Chair, you're fading a little bit, but the Finance Committee does have a report And while this does not come out of the Finance Committee, I want to report that Charity Navigator, a prominent accessor of nonprofit organizations, has elevated Pacifica's advisory status from its former moderate concern to one star, which is the bottom rung of a positive ladder, but this is good news for Pacifica. And I assume that that is a result of our audits being brought closer to being up to date. In addition, the Pacifica National Finance Committee last met on Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. The July financials were reviewed, as reported by the ICFO, Anita Sims, from NEDA. Four of our five stations, unfortunately, are in the 20% deficit range. Stations are advised to consult with NEDA about how to book the payroll protection plan payments for their payroll, and that will help them to understand how to get that information properly booked. At the last meeting, we had a report on the progress of the progress of the budget process at KPFA and KPFK. We will continue with reports from the other stations. We also had a spirited discussion about the fact that KPFA does not have a local finance committee to provide transparency or public input into their budget process. This argument was countered with the argument that KPFA is successful and, quote, unquote, these are my words, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Overall, the foundation is unfortunately trending lower for listener revenue over last year. Overall decline is 1.7% because of bequest revenue falling, and the overall consolidated loss is a $518,000 year-to-date, or 5.6% loss of revenue. And I'll just leave it at that. There's much more details. Tune in to the National Finance Committee for more information. Thank you.
Okay. Anita, did you want to add anything to that report?
No, sir. I thought it was a very complete report. But I will take questions if there is any.
Okay. Does anybody want to
Chris Corey
get on? Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I James, I wanted to thank you for filling in some detail that I had actually forgotten about, like the spirited debate about the NFC. I had the local national finance, or the not NFC, the local station board for KPFK's finance committee. I forgot about that. I believe the listener revenue is actually slightly higher this year. It's our overall revenue. That Anita wants to step in and correct me on that. I'm not looking at the financials right now. I think listener revenue is actually system-wide up 1% for maybe not for the six-month look-back period, but for the year. Anyway, I can't remember right now accurately. But thank you.
Chair, may I have a remark on that?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
That was the six-month look-back that I was discussing. That was based on the PNB resolution requiring us to look back 6 months in order to come up with our budgets and our, you know, to plan our future.
Okay, James, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, and we shall move on to the next report, Governance Committee. Lawrence, do you have anything to report from the Governance Committee?
Yes, I do, Chair. The previous Governance Committee report that was written and sent to the board, we stand by that for this month. We have not met this month. We're meeting on the 16th of September, which is a Wednesday. It's the third Wednesday of every month. And also, the PNB needs to hold an election to select a KPFA director to the committee to take Aki Tanaka's place. So that I just wanted to report that. I kept forgetting after Aki left that we needed to replace him. So I believe that's the PNB's responsibility to either hold an election or if there's any KPFA directors that are interested in joining the governance committee. I don't know what you do with that, Chair.
Well, we can ask if there's any KPFA directors that are interested, and if there's not more than, if there's only one, then you don't need an election. If there's more than one, then you need an election.
Right.
So let me ask the question: are there any KPFA directors who are interested in joining the governance committee?
Okay. They will continue to be unrepresented by a director.
There'll be a vacancy. Maybe somebody will change their mind. Okay. Next is the report from the Personnel Committee. That's also you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So I did send a proposed agenda out to the members of the committee. Also, the resumes that were vetted by Livingston and Associates have been sent out confidentially to the members of the committee. We will be convening on the 7th, Monday, in regards to an open session, then a closed session to discuss the resumes and also discuss the timeline, discuss additional advertising and other entities for the ED position. Every member of the governance every member of the personnel committee should have gotten that email in their inbox. I sent it out like around 3:30 today. My time, which is 6:30 Eastern. And that's the extent of the governance report, Chair. I mean, the personnel committee report.
Okay.
Oh, and one last thing, Chair. I'm sorry. So the COVID-19 task force, you have me down as the person providing the report. Those reports moving forward will be done by Paulina Basilia. So if that could be made. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Okay. Unless there are any questions about that last report, we'll go on to the report from the Programming Committee. I don't have a name for that. Is anybody able to present a report from the Programming Committee?
This is Paulina.
Paulina?
Yes. So I have a report from our chair, Nancy Seibartner, who would like the board to be aware that the National Programming Committee will be asking for input from the local station boards and from programmers soon, covering the following: breaking news process, youth inclusion, programmers' grievance process, whistleblower policy, and reforms concerning, it says the LSB, GM, and reporting on shows. I'm not sure what that item actually means, but let's say also about national programming from Pacifica and how that's being placed, I suppose. So that's what I have from the chair of the Programming Committee. And that's it for me. We haven't met yet since the last report, so I think this is just an addition to the last report that I did on behalf of the chair of our committee.
Okay. Thank you, Paulina. Next is a report from the Strategic Planning Committee. I will give that report. The Strategic Planning Committee met this past Monday. There were two two main items on the agenda. First, we had a rather spirited discussion on underwriting, and the disposition of that discussion was that the matter will be postponed until the next meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee. What I can tell you about that is that there is a motion for a restricted form of underwriting on the table, and then there's an amendment to that motion, and that's where it stands. So it'll be, that discussion will be resumed at the next meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee, which I think is going to wind up being the Monday after the coming one. The other discussion we had, we began a discussion about the formulation of a strategic plan. And a strategic plan has obviously a financial dimension, but there are other aspects to a strategic plan, including programming, marketing, things like that. And I presented a couple of samples, some possibilities for a strategic plan. Grace Aaron presented some ideas for a strategic plan. We discussed some of those, but the bottom line is that the members of the Strategic Planning Committee have been tasked with returning to the next meeting with their own ideas for a strategic plan, and we'll continue the discussion at the next meeting. Okay, unless there is any questions, we'll go on to the next committee report. And that's Development Task Force. I have Nancy Sorden. She's not on this call, I believe. Can anybody else provide us with that, a report from the Development Task Force? Okay, then we'll have to do without that. Next is a report from the COVID-19 Task Force, and that will be Paulina.
Sure. The COVID-19 task force continues to meet on a weekly basis. We continue to produce a weekly show, COVID, Race, and Democracy, which is now being played regularly on 3 out of 5 stations on a voluntary basis. It's not mandated, as we, as I hope you remember. And we are expanding our volunteer base or group, let's say, of people who are helping us produce it, and still going strong. So the website is the same, covidtaskforce.pacifica.org, and we also have produced a few PSAs to help promote the show on the air, on the stations that air it. It also airs on many affiliates, different ones every week. I know KCEI picks it up, or at least they download it every time we post, so that's wonderful, and several others. And, you know, so basically we are still hard at work, and I don't know if there are any questions or if there's anything, any other details that would need to be filled in, but that's pretty much it for me.
Thank you, Paulina. Okay, I think we can go on now to the next item on the agenda, which is a report from our interim executive director, Lydia Brazon. That's a 10-minute item. Lydia, the floor is yours.
Okay. So some of you on the committees that I sat on earlier in the week, like the strategic planning and finance, I believe, also have already heard this, but the good news is that officially the WBAI duplicate application on the EIDL loan has been settled once and for all. We had thought we had completely settled it in June, and they still came back and wanted to re-verify it, and spoke to Bertel Reimers, the general manager at WBAI, and so that was withdrawn, and then I confirmed it the following day. And, oh, maybe I did announce it last Thursday. Anyway, I did confirm it the following day, and with SBA. and they clearly have a new system. I am no longer number 604 or to 14. They answer right away, and they simply said that the next step is to be assigned to a loan officer, and that loan officer then will give us that portal that we've been waiting for to upload our documents so that we can have an accurate assessment of our application and of how much we are expected to receive. And so that was progress, but within, I checked the following day, they hadn't assigned a loan officer yet. And so, again, I wrote to our Senator Harris's office. And so I'm now just waiting for the appointment still of the loan officer. And also because Harris's office person wasn't there, so I had to wait again until Monday. But hopefully in the interim we'll hear something. Unfortunately, the holiday is coming up, but still. The main thing is that everybody has now confirmed that our application applied for April 3rd is the only application for Pacifica, and it is that date that they are going by as the official application for Pacifica. So that's like a huge step after hours and hours and hours of trying to wade through this. So, but I don't have anything beyond that once I have some the confirmation, we upload the documents, and we hear back, then hopefully it'll be smooth sailing. The only thing I have to go by is PPP. When we had the exact same situation with PPP, once they were able to validate that the BAI duplicate application was withdrawn, then things went very quickly. So I'm hoping that that's the case this time.
Okay. Are there any, somebody want to be on the stack? Any questions?
Lyndon for the stack.
Lyndon, go ahead.
Yes, Lydia. I believe that the PNB has passed something to keep the, or pass the motion to keep the general manager of some other station from screwing up the situation, which it seems that it's happened twice on these big government loans in the COVID era. Am I correct on that?
No, I'm not sure what you're saying, but it was, I mean, I have
in other words, is there a possibility that that some station is going to do a third time what has happened twice by applying for a loan that they didn't have the business applying for, and it just got in the path of what you were doing?
We put out a directive saying that to the business managers and the general managers that anything they apply for, whether it's grant money or anything that comes across the internet that you think you might be eligible for, even though it sounds local, because that's what they responded to in the PPP. It was a local broker in New York, and so they didn't think it applied to our application in California, blah, blah, and it's the way all of these emergency grants have been worded. And so I just did a blanket thing. Anything you're going to apply for, even if it's the Mickey Mouse grant, that you have to run it by me. You have to copy me and Tamara, and then we check it out to see, as I mentioned at the last meeting, I think, that sometimes even if it doesn't conflict with these particular loans, but we have had instances in the past when a grant sounds wonderful and it ends up costing us more, because it requires, let's say, hiring an extra person in order to fulfill the grant requirements and so on and so forth. So we want to have like a thorough review of everything that we apply for, regardless of PPP and EIDL. But PPP and EIDL was the main reason for my putting out that directive, that they're all required to do that. Since the whole network has been impacted by the delays, I think it's impressed on them. And, you know, for many meetings, especially before we got PPP, it was a point of discussion. So so I can only hope that everybody continues to run these by us. They've been doing it so far. So
I think, Lydia, in addition to your directive, I believe the PNB passed the motion that prohibits any local management from encumbering Pacifica with any kind of a loan. I'm pretty sure we did that. Maybe the secretary could confirm that.
Well, I'll get that.
Grace, could you confirm that?
I don't. I'm not sure of the exact wording of the motion that we passed. I know it included any grants and.
Well, I think it's specific. If my recollection was specifically prohibited us from local anybody but the national office.
Oh yeah, that is correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
From applying for a loan of any sort. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Ron, I want to be on a stack.
Yeah, thanks. Lydia, just one quick question. Have we exhausted the PPP funds? Are the stations now, you know, back to being responsible for funding their entire payrolls?
Yes. And so until we get what the guidelines are for what we hope to get from IDLE, that would be the case, and then we'll know how to apply different things. But yes, all the stations know they for the next payroll they have to fund their own payroll.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, and that's payroll and health benefits also, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Then there's no further discussion, then we'll go on to the next item. We're into unfinished business, and this is a motion that's been around for a bit. LSB responsibility for posting and recording all LSB and LSB committee meetings. Grace, do you want to introduce the motion?
Yes, we took this up. There is an error in the agenda. The last paragraph was removed in the last open meeting. So all of you looking at the agenda should disregard the last paragraph. Yes, a few of us, I called Otis just before the meeting. He's our IT person who streams, make sure that the meetings are on KPFTX so that they're accessible and the audio is up there, the audio recordings of the meetings. And all he wants is, he wants just a reminder if you've had a meeting that he needs to post it. And it would be helpful if you're doing it on a Maestro, it just would be helpful if you, when you remind him to post it, that you give the name of the meeting as well as the date, and it would be helpful to have the time the meeting started and ended. That way he can identify it. He will have the recording if the meeting, the teleconference, was conducted via Maestro. However, if you're conducting the meeting via Zoom, you have to make sure it's recorded, which, you know, it can be automatically recorded as a Zoom meeting, and that you send the link to the meeting with all this other information, the name of the meeting as well as the date and the time the meeting started and the time it ended. That just be simply, that information be emailed to Otis so that he can post it, post the audio on KPFTX. This motion was created because Otis's work has ballooned because many, many meetings that used to be held in person are now being held in teleconference. So this is just to ensure that the audio and the streaming is done when needed properly. I hope that that's a good enough explanation.
Okay. And this is a continuation of a discussion that was postponed at the last meeting, if I recall. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Lawrence, you want to be on the staff? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. So I would like to refer this motion to the Governance Committee because I sense that there may be additional implications, additional information that is needed, because we are virtually meeting everywhere, and there were some questions I consulted with some Governance Committee members, and there were some concerns in regards to not only the posting is well explained here, but there's also CPB requirements, there's public comment compliance that has to be looked at, so that has to be worked out. So I'd like to make a motion that would refer this motion to the Governance Committee for discussion.
Okay. Does anybody want to second that motion?
Chris Corey will second.
Okay.
Grace for the stack.
Let me just ask, are there any objections to referring to the Governance Committee?
Yes. Is Grace. I have an objection.
Go ahead, Grace.
I understand, Lawrence, what you're saying. I'd like to say that why don't we approve this motion and then a separate motion with the other important issues that need to be resolved come to to the board from the Governance Committee. At least we'll get something accomplished regarding this tonight, and then the Governance Committee can bring forward additions to this as a separate motion from the Governance Committee.
Chair, may I have the floor again?
Okay.
Lawrence?
I'd like to ask if anybody else wants to speak on it who hasn't spoken yet.
Ron with a question.
Ron, what is your question?
My question is it's to Grace. Grace, you talked to Otis. Is Otis, as you said, that he needs relief as quickly as possible, immediately, urgently? I'm sure if he was requesting the help that he wanted eventually, but my concern is if we don't do something tonight or make some kind of step towards it tonight, and refer it to another committee, then that's going to delay it even further. So I want to know the urgency here, as expressed by Otis, if he expressed an urgency.
Yes, he did. He did really request help from the chairs and the secretaries of the committees, so that things could get posted on a timely basis and that he can be reminded, because his chores have just really increased quite a bit. So I'm not opposed in any way to what Lawrence is saying for the Governance Committee to bring forward other things that need to be done. I'm just saying that I think this could stand on its own, and the Governance Committee can bring forward other things that would help with our FCC and CPB compliance, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. So I don't particularly have a problem with that, but I think this motion would inform the Governance Committee as to which direction to take. I think what Otis is requesting, yes, it is urgent. I think that's something that chairs and other speech chairs and people who post meetings could do without having to not refer this motion to the governance committee for additional workup, and we will come out with a report on the 16th. We will come up with a report in regards to the totality of the issues that this motion that I find inherent in this motion. So that's the reason why I'm almost insisting that it get referred to the governance committee for edification and for vetting and for recommendations, additional recommendations, as Ray says. Thank you.
Okay. Can we
raise the request for information?